Those of us who were here last 2 weeks, God led me to preach on Moses, and Moses is linked to Joshua in a way. Joshua was an aide to Moses when Moses, God asked Moses to go and rescue the Israelites from Egypt. And Joshua was among those people that Moses asked them to go and spy on the land that was promised to them. And out of the lot who went to the land, only two people came back with a positive report. And Joshua was one of them, and Caleb, which I will speak on it maybe later on. The rest died, very surprisingly, because God, let them die. So Joshua was somebody who was very, very determined and was ready to help, and saw the vision that God has given to Moses, and was able to grab that vision and run with the vision from day one through that. So let us see what really happened after Moses died. God started to speak to Joshua, and we want to pick it from there, from Joshua chapter 1. So I just want to read from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to you, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. So we can see from here what God is telling Moses, Joshua. After Moses' death, God has now revealed himself clearly to Joshua. We are all aware that God revealed himself to who? Moses, to rescue the Israelites from the hands of Pharaoh to the promised land. Moses has died on the way, and now God has revealed himself to Joshua to take over. And clearly, God has set up the vision for Joshua to be able to accomplish. And he's made it very clear that you are supposed to lead these people to cross the Jordan River to the promised land. And, when I was reading this, I had a clear confirmation of when God speaks to us, when God wants us to do certain things, he says certain things in relation to what he wants us to do. Because he places himself in the things that he is telling us to do. And if we look at this, we can easily also see this from Matthew 28, where the Great Commission is. Let's see what he's telling us from here. He said the same thing to Moses from verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. He's encouraging Joshua here. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I have tend to believe that whenever God gives a vision, I want to see this as part of it. I want to see God's comfort around the vision. If God is saying that we have to move from here to go and do something, I want to see that God is saying that I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If I'm not going to see some of these things clearly, then I will wait till these things become very clear. Because I've tend to realize that God is always making himself clear and going with us and promising that he's not going to leave us alone to accomplish anything in our own strength. He is going to be part of it. And that is the encouragement that he gave to Joshua. After giving this encouragement, Then he asks Joshua to do certain things. So if we look at what he asked Joshua to do from verse 6. First he said to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. When God wants to use us for battles, when God wants to use us for visions, he's saying that we need to be strong and what? Be courageous. You see, we don't tell people to be strong and courageous when they are doing normal things. We tell people to be courageous when they are going to face challenges, when there is a tendency for them to be afraid or be fearful ahead. So courage comes in when you need to be able to see yourself overcoming challenges. And that is why God is saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. And in verse 7 he says it again, be strong and very courageous. Be very careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So success for visions that God gives to his people come by knowing his word and desiring that we are not going to turn from the left to the left or to the right. So it's an issue where we have to learn his word. We have to know his word. So it was a responsibility for Joshua to know what was in the book of the law that Moses handed over to him. And the same way, God is asking us to do certain things for him. We have to know his word to be able to fulfill the things that he wants us to do. We cannot do it in our own self. Then he goes on to tell him that in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So another thing for us to be able to do is to let the book, the word, not depart from our mouth. And if we see it clearly to the end, he tell his people, the Israelites, that be strong and be courageous. I was impressed. Because he is also saying the same thing to the Israelites when he was giving them the farewell in our speech. He was telling the Israelites, be strong and be courageous, because God has spoken this word to him and he is not letting that word depart from his mouth. He kept on meditating on it, because meditation comes by repeating the thing, speaking on the same word again and again. And as we do that, that is when we get revelation. As we meditate on his word, that is when we get revelation. And I believe this time we don't want the meditation bit of things. It's difficult for us. We don't want to meditate on God's word. We want to hear it, all right. But the meditation part of it is not something that we want to do. But that is a requirement for us to fulfill every vision God has given to us to be able to do it. We need to meditate on God's word. And that brings, you know, our faith to life. So that is what God told him to do, that he has to meditate on his word. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. About three times now we've heard be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. In doing God's word work, he is telling us not be what? Terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So God is giving us assurance upon assurance that he is going to what? Be with us and help us to go through what he has said before us. Unlike Moses, when we were, you know, doing learning about Moses, when God revealed himself to him and asked him to rescue the people from Egypt, Moses started asking God certain questions, that if I go and this happen, if I go and this happen. I didn't see that from Joshua. He has caught the vision already. So if you look at verse 10 and verse 11 going, he says that immediately he told his people that get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So 3 days from now, he's just taking immediate decision that no argument, nothing. I'm not going to ask God anything. He has told me that we have to cross the Jordan River. 3 days from now, tell the people we are moving from now. And that is very impressive. I was asking myself, will I be able to take God's word immediately and run with God's word and his vision? Will fear, will weaknesses, will other things come in to bring doubt? Or will I be able to do it in that way? And I believe that is what God wants us to do for his church now. We need to take his word and run with his word immediately to do what he has called us to do. Because he is taking God by his word. Because God has told him that he has to be obedient. He has to be able to meditate on his word, use his word, and do what he is calling him to do. And he is doing exactly as God wants him to do. When God told him and he started doing that, immediately he brought in, because when Moses was leading the people, the east of the Jordan, he was able to allocate some of the land to some of the Israelites. So when Joshua started it, he called those people, as Moses has already declared in his law, that those brothers should help the rest to be able to, for them to also be able to have rest. So he encouraged them to be with them and to fight to the to get to the other side. And that was a lesson to me. The lesson being that when we become Christians, we shouldn't settle down that we have got our what freedom, our salvation. We have to fight for others in our families. There are many in our families whom we have neglected. We thought we are free. And we want to leave them. But we have to make that effort and bring them on board so that we will all get to the where, the, you know, the promised land that the Lord is giving us. And exactly that's what the Joshua did. He encouraged his brothers to be able to be with them and fight to get to the other side. And because of that, Israel was very responsive and they followed Joshua and accepted his vision and carried on with him. And from there, we realized that they got to Jordan, the banks of Jordan. And when they got to that point, the Lord himself showed Joshua what he has to do. So I can see from here that God guided Joshua in the things, the way he has to handle himself around the bank of Jordan. Because you go to the river bank, how do you cross? But they've had an experience before. They've had that Red Sea experience. So Joshua was trusting the Lord. And God showed him that this is what I want you to do. The priests, the Levites, they have to carry the Ark of Covenant and they have to do certain things. And exactly that is what they did. They carried the Ark of Covenant and stood in the middle of the what? Of the Jordan. And Bible says immediately there was that separation. And it says they walked, you know, on dry land. And I was asking myself, was it purely dry land or maybe wet? You know, these were some of the questions that was coming into my mind. But I believe it was a dry land that they walked on. And before that, you know, Bible says that before they were able to cross, if we read from 14, we will see. It says that, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. So that was the instruction given to Jonah, Joshua, to let them cross. Now the Jordan is at the flood stage, all during harvest. What a challenging situation. It says the Jordan was at the what? Flood stage. If you've been there and you realize that, oh, that is the normal, you can see maybe the bottom of the river, then we can make an attempt to cross. It says it was the flood stage. So what it means is, it's interesting. Behind the flood state is the promise that we have. Behind it. And we have to make the effort to cross that, you know, river before we get to where God wants us to get to. So it was a challenging situation for them, but they trusted the Lord, and God gave them that wisdom and that miracle to be able to cross that river. To me, it was a very powerful thing to me. I don't know how you would take it, but what I've learned is that behind the floods, behind that challenging situation, are promises. But we have to make that effort. We have to listen to God and be obedient and take the right steps, and He will make a way for us to be able to get to where He wants us to get to. Apart from the crossing of the river, they got to a point where we all know that there were about 7 different tribes or whatever on the land. So once they've crossed, they have to fight them. So the first that they had to meet was Jericho. That I think we've preached on Jericho so many times. There was Jericho with mighty walls. And, you know, Bible says that Joshua looked up and he saw a man with a what? With a sword in his hand. So if we want to look at that portion, just to read that portion, is from verse 5, chapter 5, 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servants?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals." Have we seen this before? "Take off your sandals, from the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. I was surprised because I never knew that Joshua experienced the same thing as Moses. Because when God revealed himself to Moses, he said exactly the same thing to Moses. So here we are, the army commander, Jesus himself, the Lord himself, who was leading them in the battle, has revealed himself to Joshua. And now he's telling Joshua, "Take off your sandals, because where you are standing is a holy place." I think it will confirm to Joshua that the Lord is with him, because just like it happened to Moses, that is exactly how it's happening to him. So that is why he just put his face down and was asking for direction and guidance. And the Lord gave them direction and guidance to be able to overcome Jericho. And from there, we can read what really happened when the people wanted to overcome Jericho. It says, "The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you would make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. It's very important that we hear this, because what it means here is that God is telling the Israelites to follow certain things, to be able to be obedient along the line. And from here, what really happened is that he has set a parameters that this is what we are supposed to do. All the things that you get out of this by conquering Jericho should be devoted to the Lord. Immediately, they were able to succeed by conquering Jericho. God gave them the guidelines. You know, we've heard preaching about it. Maybe later on, if there is the need to do series on Joshua, there will be a deeper way of looking into these things. But going round 7 times, you know, daily, every we've heard it so many times, and eventually they were able to overcome Jericho. But immediately when they finished Jericho, ahead of them was a small town, Ai. And they said, oh, when they sent the spies there, they brought a very good report, and they said, well, we can quickly go in. When they went there, they were defeated. And when they were defeated, the man of God, Joshua, was very, very, you know, disturbed in his spirit. And we can see the sort of prayer he prayed, which I want to read. And maybe some of us can associate ourselves with the same prayer that some of us might have prayed similar along those lines when we were in difficult times. Then Joshua told, that's verse 7, chapter 7, verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then would you do for your own great name? So you can see the desperation prayer. He was praying, knowing that what is going to happen? Is there destruction for them, or what is ahead of them? And the Lord quickly answered his prayer, and he said, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. God told them not to take anything when they were conquering Jericho for themselves. Everything was devoted for the Lord. But there was one man, Achan, who saw gold, who saw other things, and was, you know, ready for it, and he took it for himself. But when he took it for himself, and the Lord was speaking to Joshua, he said that Israel has been what? Unfaithful. Israel has been unfaithful. I was wondering, if only one man, why Israel has been unfaithful, and the punishment has come upon the whole Israel? So we have to learn and make sure that we are working together. We are helping one another, that we don't leave others in sin whilst we are journeying to the promised land. We all have to encourage one another. so that we would all be able to get there in a way that God wants us to be there. God gave the direction, and eventually that thing was wiped out because God wouldn't allow sin to reign in the way that, you know, we would want it to reign, maybe in terms of mankind. So it was punished. Then from there, we see how God encouraged Joshua again in chapter 8. When the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You may do to Ai and his kings and his king as you did to Jericho and his king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city." So this time God has given them the opportunity to do what? To take whatever they want to take. So we have to learn from the Lord. God is showing us to be obedient, you know, whilst we are journeying to the kingdom that he has promised us. The same, just like the people were journeying from that Egypt to Canaan. He is also telling us the same thing, that we have to be obedient. We have to learn to be obedient. And when he tells us certain things, we have to bear it in mind and do as he wants us to do. And along the line too, they came to a point where the people in the west, there were so many other, you know, groups that they had not conquered yet. And they realized that these people will definitely come and conquer us. We've heard what the Lord has helped them to be able to do when they immediately crossed the Jordan. So they tried to plan together, and, you know, one of them, the Gibeonites or so, felt like, well, we wouldn't agree with these people, so we will go. We will find a way of deceiving the people of Israel. So they planned that, oh, we live far away. They came in a very different way, showing that they've come very far, and they were able to sign some sort of covenant with them that they shouldn't fight them, they shouldn't destroy them. And the people did that. And I just want to read just a portion of it, why they did that, so that we learn from it. It says in chapter 9, verse 14, "The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord." They sampled the provisions of the people because they've got, you know, molded bread. They've got, you know, so many things that show clearly that they've traveled from far. But Bible says that they did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them leave, and the leaders of the assembly rectify it by oath. In verse 16, he says, 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors. They've made a treaty already. They didn't inquire of the Lord, and now they cannot do otherwise to them, because they have signed a treaty with them that we would have peace together. And this goes on, and it got to a point that the rest of the people living on the land decided that, well, we are going to attack Gibeonites, because they've agreed to have a better relationship with the Israelites. And when they decided to do that, the Gibeonites have to, you know, seek help from the Israelites, because now they are in partnership. And they sought that help, and there was a fight, and that is when Joshua again saw the hand of the Lord, and he was able to command that the sun should stay on till that day. The whole day, the sun was on throughout, and the moon was on in that valley. So the sun stayed on, and according to scientists, they've calculated that I think the number of days is, you know, increase or whatever, short by one because of that thing that happened. I think I read it some time back. So we can see that Joshua has seen the hand of the Lord in his life. He's seen how God works when he believes in him, when he trusts in him. He's seen how successful he has come, that God has given him victory to where God wants him to be. And the question is, with all these things, were the people able to get to the land that God promised them? Now, if we read briefly chapter 23, chapter 21, verse 43 to 45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, because Joshua was obedient and was able to follow what God was telling him. And they took possession of it and settled there. So we can be sure that Joshua followed the commands and the instructions and the laws, everything, and he was able to receive what God wanted Israel to receive. After all these things, Joshua was able to also encourage his people of what the good things the Lord has done. So if you look at some of the things like chapter 23 verse 6, he tells them exactly the same thing. Be very strong, be very careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. So there is that encouragement, and he kept on saying almost the same thing in his farewell speech. And he got to a point that he said to them, today you have to choose whom you have to serve, because as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We can see what Joshua has seen in the hands of the Lord, how God helped him to be able to get there. But upon all these things, what I was gathering and learning was the fact that obedience is a key to everything. And secondly, we also have to understand that when we become Christians, there could be Jordans in our lives that we need to cross before we get to the promised land. And it's very important that we understand that there are Jordans in our lives that we need to cross. We cannot cross Jordans in our own self unless we are guided by God himself. And there are Jerichos that need to fall in our lives, and we need God's guidance to help us to be able to let Jerichos in our lives to fall before we get to the promised land. There are situations that we can find ourselves in sin, just like, you know, it happened to them along the line. And Achan was sinful because of the things he desired to have. As we journey to the kingdom, there is that tendency for us to be able to desire things that we shouldn't be desiring for. And if we are not careful, we can also get decepted by, you know, other things. People can deceive us to get into wrong places. So for me, it's very important that we take these things very careful and be able to look forward and trust God to take us to the promised land. And he who has started a good work in us will surely bring us to the expected end. May the Lord be with us. Amen.